translation. Oh, yes, Dave. Your vision is completely perfect. Your good fame is spotless. You're firm in vow and situated in truthfulness. And thus you can think of the pastimes of the Lord in trance for the liberation of the people in general from all material bondage. Bhaktivedanta purport. People in general have a taste for literature by instinct. They want to hear and read from the authorities something about the unknown. But their taste is exploited by unfortunate literature, which is full of subject matter for satisfaction of the material senses. Such literature contains different kinds of mundane poems and philosophical speculations, more or less under the influence of Maya, ending in sense gratification. These literatures, although worthless in the true sense of the term, are variously decorated to attract the attention of the less intelligent men. Thus, the attractive living entities are more and more entangled in material bondage without hope of liberation for thousands and thousands of generations. Srinada Rishi, being the best amongst the Vaishnavas, is compassionate towards such unfortunate victims of worthless literature. And thus he advises Sri Vyasadeva to compose transcendental literature which is not only attractive but can also actually bring liberation from all kinds of bondage. Srila Vyasadeva or his representatives are qualified because they are rightly trained to see things in true perspective. Srila Vyasadeva and his representatives are pure in thought due to their spiritual enlightenment, fixed in their vows due to their devotional service, and determined to deliver the fallen souls rotting in the material activities. The fallen souls are very eager to receive novel information every day, and the transcendentalists like Vyasadeva and Narada can supply such eager people in general with unlimited news from the spiritual world. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the material world is only a part of the whole creation, and that this earth is only a fragment of the whole material world. There are thousands and thousands of literary men all over the world, and they have created many, many thousands of literary works for the information of the people in general for thousands and thousands of years. Unfortunately, none of them have brought peace and tranquility on the earth. This is due to the spiritual vacuum in these literatures. Therefore, the Vedic literatures, especially Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, are specifically recommended to suffering humanity to bring about the desired effect of liberation from the pangs of material civilization, which is eating the vital part of human energy. The Bhagavad Gita is spoken message of the Lord Himself, recorded by Vyasadeva. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is the transcendental narration of the activities of the same Lord Krishna, which alone can satisfy the hankering desires of the living being for eternal peace and liberation from misery. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is meant for all the living beings all over the universe for total liberation from all kinds of material bondage. Such transcendental narrations of the pastimes of the Lord can be described only by liberated souls like Vyasadeva and his bona fide representatives who are completely merged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Only to such devotees do the pastimes of the Lord and their transcendental nature become automatically manifest by dint of devotional service. No one else can either know or describe the acts of the Lord, even if they speculate on the subject matter for many, many years. The description of the Bhagavatam are so precise and accurate that whatever has been predicted in this great literature about 5,000 years ago is now exactly happening. Therefore, the vision of the author comprehends past, present, and future. Such liberated persons as Vasudeva are perfect not only by the power of vision and wisdom, but also in oral reception, in thinking, feeling, and all other sense activities. A liberated person possesses perfect senses, and with perfect senses only can one serve the sense proprietor, Rishikesh, Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is the perfect description of this all-perfect Personality of Godhead. By the all-perfect personality, Sri Vyasadeva, the compiler of the faith. Who's going to go first?
How much time would it take?
A couple minutes.
Sometimes even Indians, why even just chant Hare Krishna? Why don't you have some other songs? And we see like that the longer we chant, the more nectarine it becomes. The kirtan sometimes starts off a little slow or everybody's tired. But if we keep it going, then everybody gets full of energy. And we don't want to stop. And that is the nature of the spiritual world. So here in Narada, and it's interesting that we have this Brihad Bhagavatamrita that just came out. Narada is always glorified as the greatest of the Vaishnavas. But in that book, he saw one brahmana who, you know, was doing such nice puja. He just became overwhelmed. Oh, what a great devotee he is. How he's getting so much mercy. He went to glorify him. And then on and on, everyone he went to in his search to find the best devotee or the devotee who was getting the most mercy of Krishna. He went to this Brahman, he went to the king, he went to Lord Brahma, he went to Shiva, Hanuman, Prahlad, Lakshmi. And everyone was just saying, no, I'm not really a very good devotee, and Krishna doesn't really favor me at all. Lord Brahma was saying Krishna was angry at him because he benedicted Hiranyakasipu, told him he shouldn't do that. But he said, I do anyway. I give mercy to demons. Because that's his nature. He's the father of everyone. And when someone does, so sometimes people want, we wonder why the demons become powerful. Because they do tapasya, they're very determined. So we see that, like the demigods and the demons, sometimes the demigods, they become very comfortable with their heavenly life, and they become neglectful of their guru or neglectful of, you know, humility. And then the demons, who are very determined to conquer, they do great tapasya, and they strictly follow their guru, and they perform great austerities and vows, and then they become very powerful, and they're able to defeat the demigods. So when the demigods, their good quality is when they become desperate, then they surrender to Krishna, who shall serve the Supreme Lord. And then he always helps people. They're the surest. They're very favorable. So throughout the Bhagavatam we find, you know, we can pick out various verses and stress this first, this particular chapter, Narada Muni speaking to Vyasadeva, of course, is essential because it's the what got the Bhagavatam in writing as we have it now. Actually, Srimad Bhagavatam exists eternally. It's the pastimes of the Lord. It's been spoken by Anantha Shesha. It's been around. But as we have it on earth, we have these 17,800 slokas. A lot of slokas. And every one of them is complete. And Prabhupada is always stressing on this need to Tikshava, Karunikasam, and this tolerant. And he's merciful. He wants to, he sees that people are suffering. And like Lord Shiva, when he drank the ocean of poison, he was merciful. He saw that this poison was spreading, and he took it on himself and he drank it all. And then it's stated that the great souls, they always accept suffering for the sake of others. But this tapasya that may appear to be suffering, the devotees find that it's actually pleasure. Krishna says that my tapasya and myself are not different. And then Lord Chaitanya, he very kindly gave the living, he was like the living Baba. And he came as a devotee. He's a hidden avatar. He didn't exhibit, you know, himself publicly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He acted like a devotee. And he showed us the ecstasy of, you know, chanting the holy name of the Lord. Here in Srimad Bhagavatam, he would spend hours every day reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Gadana. And he would spend more hours chanting kirtan, chanting japa. Whatever he was doing, he was always chanting. He was always crying, falling Krishna. And his dancing would always inspire everyone. We heard yesterday he was going around. So the devotees, our movement is a continuation of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Like this festival, it's very nice because like yesterday we're hearing the glories of so many devotees. And that's like a very essential activity of devotional service. I wrote down some verse I was reading the other day. And from Chaitanya Bhagavat, where Lord Chaitanya was glorifying the devotees. And it says that everyone listen, talking about Murari Gupta. He said anyone who criticizes Murari Gupta will not be purified by millions of baths in the Ganga. Neither the Ganga nor the holy name will remove his sin. Then it says the Lord knows how to glorify his devotees. What will he not say and what will he not do for the sake of his devotees? For his devotees' sake, the Lord will swallow a blazing fire, like Krishna swallowed a forest fire twice in the Krishna book to save the devotees. The Lord yearns to become a servant of his devotees. Lord Krishna does not know anything except his devotee. He does not think even of the endless universes are equal to one of his devotees. Anyone who is not pleased with the devotee of Lord Krishna is a wretched sinner, and his past must be full of sin. That's from the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Bhagavat. So festivals like this, when we all get together and we glorify devotees and we chant the holy name, it's a great fortune for everyone. It's not only for us fortunate, because the power of this chanting, this vibration spreads much beyond the range of simply being able to hear with the ear, because it's affecting the whole ether, it's purifying our minds, making us more and more attached to the holy name of the Lord, so that we can carry on and stick to the mission. Here everybody's a book distributor, and so many things have been said. Srila Prabhupada said so many things about book distribution. Of course, he said so many things about everything. But books are the basis, and preaching is the essence. So that means reading the books and distributing the books. We don't want to simply distribute them and never read them. We heard many times Srila Prabhupada said that. One time in Los Angeles, that was in 1971 or something, Prabhupada would go out every day for his walk, and he would take a car for a snow, the devotees would be waiting. And one Mataji was distributing so many books. She said, Prabhupada, we're distributing hundreds of Isha Upanishad. And he just looked at her and said, why don't you read my books? So then, of course, everybody thought we better read a book. But we don't want to simply read the books either. Sometimes devotees think, well, we can't preach and we can't distribute until we learn everything. But it goes together. Anyone can go out and say what they feel, how much they like this book. We don't have to know everything about them. But Prabhupada said we should know, so that people want to know, they want to ask us what's in the book, we can tell them. So we know this is something wonderful. Nobody can really describe kirtan. We see how the holy name, the sound of the holy name, just simply bewilders everyone, makes us completely forget the bodily concept of life, makes us forget our fatigue or whatever we're supposed to be doing later in the day or anything. And that's the whole idea, that Krishna is there. We're actually, Krishna is everything. Time, I am, the past, present, future. We want to be with Krishna. By chanting, Krishna is there. We have a personal relationship. And the more we come together and chant, the better. take, then we can get strength to carry on this mission. People need the books and they need to chant because they, in the unpurified, contaminated condition, people are in a very hard to understand. But so many people, like I was in Finland and in one of the ladies, she said, I have that book. I read it all the time. She said, I read it on the cell phone, the metro or whatever train they take. She said, I have that Christian book also. That one's hard. But this other one, kind of what is science of self-realization, or they call it yoga. She said, I like this one. I'm reading every day. And so there's so many people like that. But they need to meet devotees, they need to, you know, hear the holy name, they need to get, you know, brought in. But there's no limit to how many books we can distribute, and we don't know what result. Prabhupada even said, I don't know what result will come, but I'm following blindly the order of my spiritual master to just distribute books. We saw a few things Prabhupada said yesterday. That so many little things. There was that one famous quote, distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. That was in Los Angeles. And when he said that, the whole temple room was like, he was pointing at one particular person that was collecting a lot of money but not distributing books. The Prabhupada started talking about the books and how important it was, and he said he stopped for a few seconds and then distribute books, distribute books, distribute books, and it stopped again. And that was, you know, immediately the tape was going all over the place. But in those days we didn't have such technology. So I don't want to take everybody's time. Lord Chaitanya especially like to glorify devotees, and he likes to hear, he likes to serve the devotees. Jagatapa Maharaj is here, he's also very well known for serving the devotees. He goes to Mayapur. Everybody becomes very pleased. But that's our culture, serving the devotees. Lord Chaitanya has stated that. Vaishnava Seva, Nama Sankirtan. That just by these two things, Vaishnava Seva and Nama Sankirtan, then very quickly, Sri Krishna Chara, very quickly, you get the lotus feet of Krishna. So, like, you're the, in charge of the Seva. Somebody got up the other day and they had a good portion. So, we have a chance, of course, everybody can serve the Lord anytime. And then you get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya that way. How can you serve Krishna and serve the devotees? And there's so many ways to serve the devotees. We simply chant, like the cooks are cooking, so many devotees are working so long to get energy for kirtan. Anyway, I'm very glad I could come here, Krishna arranged. Give me your blessings, because we're going many places. Not so many devotees, they're not such good material conditions. But the whole world, is everybody wants Krishna. Everyone's hankering for Krishna, and everyone wants books, and everyone wants something. But like Prabhupada said, they're being cheated. There's so many books, and now there's just like so many more books. And like in Japan, and now every book that comes out in English, the next day we find it in every magazine, every book they've translated. Like, so bewildering. And every movie, and every nonsense thing. So devotees, we cannot sit back, you know, we have to carry on. Even the Coca-Cola, I heard they, Coca-Cola, you know, is the most famous brand name in the world, the most highly reckoned. So at one point, some time ago, they thought, we don't have to advertise anymore because everybody knows Coca-Cola, you know, that, right? The whole world. Everybody knows Coca-Cola, Mickey Mouse, you know, they know those things. So they stopped advertising because they spend so much money. And immediately their sales went down like anything. And sometimes devotees, they think like that, well, everybody knows, we don't have to preach, we don't have to go on our York City places where devotees have been thinking they're prominent for so many years. But you meet people that right nearby, a half a mile from the temple, they say, what religion are you in? What are you doing? And, some people are interested. I went to one shop in New York City, it's all the Jewish people, right? So the guy, he asked me, why does your religion put this on your face? He was nice. I said, well, this means the body of the temple. And God lives in the body. He went, oh. He said, well, Jewish, we don't believe that. We believe God is everywhere. I said, yeah, he's everywhere, but then he's in your body also. And then he said, well, I can't talk anymore because we have a contract. We can't talk about religion on the job here. But he's seen so many devotees, he's wondering about it, you know. So he's thinking of Tilak and he's thinking that we have to get out and let people see us here, let them hear the holy name in any way we can do it. And keep giving gifts. And then Lord Chaitanya's mercy, he said this, you know, this is going to spread everywhere. It is spreading everywhere, but not enough. We should never be satisfied. But, you know, we read the book enough, or chanted enough, or distributed enough, nothing can be enough, because if we've done it enough, we'd want to do more. The more someone chants, and Prabhupada said, we want to chant more. The more we read Bhagavad Gita, we should want to read Bhagavad Gita more. That's the test. So, I'll stop and we'll tell them to start the book of my speech. And please give me some blessing. I'll be able to preach. I was very impressed last night with this presentation. And humor was very good, and also the songs were deep thinking. If you read this purport again, you'll see that both those songs are tragically right there. Different language, but the idea is there. And that's what Prabhupada wanted, that we present things in a new, and we can put it in the language and the presentation that the people can accept. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Namasya garam jara sulata chakshu shravitam jana tasmai sri gurave namah. Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vijinamane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravami Pracharine Nivise Sasun Yavari Prasthachila Chitarine Mugakulu Dibacharam Pango Langari Te Vivin Yatki Vata Mahan Mande Sivurum Yatarinam Purvam Numarum. Thinking about the welfare of all conditioned souls and how they can be freed from material bondage. And therefore he is instructing his disciple, his transcendental disciple, he asked him to write a transcendental literature which will liberate them. A literature which will broadcast the glories of the Lord's pastimes. But this is for the people in general. That's also something remarkable, because usually liberation has always been for very select people. Just like Vedic mantras, only the Brahmanas could chant. And we hear that the name of God in the Jewish religion, only the rabbis can chant. And Christianity, nobody even knows what the name of God is. We said God was the president. No, Jesus is the Son of God. So, Lord Chaitanya was so merciful that he made Krishna consciousness available to everyone. He also did that because Naraduni was very concerned about it. How people are going to get Krishna consciousness. When Krishna leaves, he's not believing he asked Krishna. And Krishna said, I'm going to come again. And I'm going to come as a devotee and distribute the mercy. And we also know that the Bhagavatam rises in the east. Purana Gold, you know you don't. Just like the rising sun and the darkness of ignorance, darkness of Kali, which is an way. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he sent out his devotees to distribute a daily newspaper called Nadia Prakash and other literatures. Some people ask, how is it possible you're having a daily newspaper for spiritual matters? I think they run out of news. So the Guru came back and asked the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, just like Maharaj said. He brought the point that all the spiritual world, this Jupa Vibhuti, is the deep course of reality. And the material world is only one course of reality. Therefore, there's more, unlimited more information available in the spiritual world. So, don't worry, we have plenty of information. They should read every day. The Paramahas brought up that the people like to hear something new and interesting, some new novel thing. Actually, because Krishna is unlimited, even if you read the same subject matter, there's always something new that you realize from it. There's always some new insights, some new revelation, something new and sparkling and illuminating. Why does it say that all these literary works are cheating the people? I mean, as human beings, we have limited time. But if we use our time wisely, then we can be free from the cycle of birth, death, old age. We can develop our God consciousness, and we can even achieve upper God. So the means for doing that in Kali Yuga is through books. We need to regularly Bhagavat and Nitya Sevaya. We need to hear the Bhagavat. So that verse, Bhagavat Nitya Sevaya, includes both the book Bhagavat and person Bhagavat. We need to serve both. But instead, it's like little babies, they want some milk from the mother, but the mother may be busy or something, sometimes give a little plastic rubber thing. The pacifier, what we call it in German, or whatever name it is, but they put it in the mouth and then the baby's sucking. You know, hoping to get some milk, but nothing is happening. You know. Keeps them busy for a while. So like that, somehow, they're given literature and they're trying to suck to get something out of it, but instead what they're getting is sense gratification. They're not getting real transcendental nectar. It's good for the book sales in the sense that they have to keep making new books because you read one, you're already tired. Who reads a book twice? I mean, very few people. You want to go on to the next book and stuff and find out something. Again, the transcendental literature, you have the book, you can go on reading it again and again. something new. Apart from that, there's so many different kinds of literatures that follow the Bhagavad. So people are being cheated from the opportunity to get a literature that's going to liberate them. Instead, they're just given some more chewing the truth, material information, presented with some nice literary embellishments and analogies, similes, metaphors, poetry, interesting plot lines. But it simply agitates the material mind a little bit, but that ultimately doesn't give them the real liberation. Well, Shiva is telling Parvati how wonderful the Bhagavad Gita is. And he describes every chapter, the glories in the Padma Purana. Remember that he described the 15th chapter glories. He requested, please tell me the glories of the 15th chapter. Purushottam Yoga. The yoga of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He explained that once there was a king called Narasimha Maharaj. And he was trying to consolidate the entire world in one world government. And he was being quite successful at it. My idea of one world government, he wasn't doing it, but just he actually had intention that in the name of God to do it and to follow the Vedic system. He consolidated everyone and everyone followed the Vedic system. He was quite a very fair person, performed regularly his sacrifices and studied the hymns of the Brahmanas and so many good qualities. So he had one general who was an expert military man. So he engaged him in handing over the few states that were still independent so that the no-war rogue states, everyone would be one system, and the whole world could be peaceful. So finally they were successful, they had achieved their goal. He was the emperor of the entire world. So he dedicated everything in the service of the Lord. And he tried to carry out his duties according to our ashram. He rewarded his general, I forget the general's name, with, noble titles, war, duke, and gave him a big palace. And he became like a sub-royalty type person. But the general, he thought that I did all the fighting. I mean, I was the one on the field there. He was there also, but I was the strategist who won the battles for the king. Why should I have been named the king? I should be the king! Then he got his little team together, some of his secret army people, and they made a plan. This particular day we're going to go, we'll sneak in, the king will trust us like anything, we'll go in there and we'll assassinate him. I will be crowned as the emperor of the world. This was his plot. The day before they're going to attack the unsuspecting emperor. The general died of some disease. I know. He was taken, dragged off by the Yamadutas. Trained before Yamaraj in the court of the Yamalok. Why? You have wasted your life, my dear friend, general. You already had everything. Now you could have concentrated on your spiritual life. Actually, your whole life, you only did military science. You never did anything spiritual. And you want to be the emperor. You think you can be emperor without good karma? You did very little good karma. And you want to be the best. What will make you the best? Your good karma, whatever you little you've done, you can be the best horse. Since you haven't done anything spiritual in your life, and you want to be the best, we'll make you the best horse. So he was born next life as a horse. Best horse. World champion horse. World class. How many people that want to be the best in some material effort are going to become, you know, prize-winning dogs and prize-winning hogs and prize-winning horses? And so one businessman, he spotted this horse and he said, this is the best horse I've ever seen. This horse is going to make me rich. So he bought the horse for 2 million rupees. So with great effort, he struggled and he brought it over to the emperor's capital city. There, he brought the horse to the emperor's palace. He's trying to get into the royal court. People say, you can't bring a horse in the royal court. No, but this is the best horse in the entire world. I want to present it to the emperor. He deserves it. So there's a whole commotion at the door, and the horse is going, so there's the emperor says, what's going on? And he said, somebody says he has the best horse in the entire world to present to you. He said, well, first let my veterinarian and let the cavalry head check out the horse and then give a report. So the head of the cavalry went with a veterinarian and they checked out the horse. Then they came back and said, this is a fabulous horse! I don't think I've ever seen any horse equal to it. Then the emperor was interested. All right, let's check it out. Then he went there, saw this fabulous horse. And he said, okay, what do you want? No, sir, I bought for you. I don't want to take any profit on this. I just give me the cost I paid for it and you can have it. I just paid 4 million. So here I make sacrifice. So my business is. So the emperor said, really happy, and you're going to give me this cost price. A horse like this is invaluable. That's 4 million rupees. So he got the horse, he's eager to try it out. I'm going to tell the story fast because we're going by 9:30. We decided to go out for a hunt to try out the horse. So all the young princes and nobles and generals and everyone, they're all together and going to go with the emperor on a hunt. And he's got his little horse. They take off into the riding through the jungle and the forest, and they saw a snake, male deer, and they went running after the snake. And the emperor was in hot pursuit, and the snake went deep into the forest. Because he had the best horse, the fastest horse, he left everybody else in the dust. Pretty soon he was separated from the rest of his party. And he was the only one there. He got very thirsty. And he saw one waterfall. And there was a beautiful crystalline spring water. So he let the horse drink and then he took some water. And he tied the horse up, took some water. Then he saw while drinking the water that by the side of the stream there was one palm leaf with a verse written on it. What is this? They read out the verse aloud. When he read the verse aloud, the horse was there listening. Soon as he finished reading it, the horse cried out and died. And everybody's thinking 40 million. Well, suddenly there was this transcendental sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Out from the body of the dead horse came the spiritual form of his general. Emperor said, "What's going on? My dear general, Lord, you know, whatever you're saying, you know, Lord Madhusudha." But the general, he transformed into this brilliant, effulgent living entity, an effulgent spirit liberated soul. He was taken by the Vishnudutas into the spiritual airplane and went off into the sky. So the emperor was really amazed. What is going on here? He went up on top of the waterfall, and there he saw some, you know, hermits, priests, the Brahmins, they're studying. And then he went to them and he said, "Look, I found this downstream. I just wondered, can you tell me what is this all about?" He said, "Oh, that's our missing slope from the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It blew off in a little wind." Then he told them what happened. What does this all mean? He said, "Oh," since they were very psychic people, they could tell him, "Well, actually, your general wanted to kill you and take over your kingdom, but he died because it was his bad karma. And he was born as the greatest horse because he wanted to be the greatest. And when you read the Bhagavad Gita, 15 chapters to him, somehow we heard that one verse, it was enough to liberate him. And he went back to Godhead." So then guess what the king decided to do? He started reading 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The one verse, it was the one, why wasn't I liberated? Well, maybe you weren't concentrating as much as the horse was. He was quite listening very attentively. So remember that history and how one verse liberated someone. So far I heard a lot of stuff here, tell stories, and hopefully you'll hear more today. I never particularly heard that one. And you read a Bhagavad Gita verse to somebody and some kirtan, suddenly you know, fell dead in front of you. Bhagavad Gita, Vishnu Dutta's came and took his spiritual form back to the spiritual world. But here it happened once.
It's better now
to
become devotees and start.
Right, rather than just go back to Godhead, it's good morning, good part to become devotees and start distributing. So we give them a chance not just to get liberation, but to get love for Godhead, which is even higher than liberation. Pamcham Purusharta. Book distribution is always filled with some obstacles. Srinivasacharya went to distribute the books. He was ordered by the deity, blessed by all the devotees, as the first book distribution expedition. So many other Goswamis have written, Krishnadas Kaviraj had written all the books down. Someone had to take them and get them published, get them copied, distribute them. So He was entrusted with that assignment. And he was helped by Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Pandit. But then on the way, all the original books were stolen. So they were so much traumatized. The original manuscripts is the most important manuscripts in the universe. But eventually, of course, he got them back. When he was lecturing at the Bhagavatam, he was able to impress the king who actually stole them that this was a very, this must be the owner of the books. He got the books back, and then the king wanted to become his disciple. In those days, he didn't distribute many books because it was so hard to publish the books. So they would publish the books by hand copying them. So the price for buying a book in those days was giving your life. So you may not get many people taking the books. You have to spend a lot of time explaining the books. So it's a time, you know, because who's going to just give a book away if it took you a year to copy it, and you know, and there's so much endeavor, and then you only have a few books. You want to give it the book someone else who's going to also copy it and give it again to new people. So in fact, that they would sit somewhere until somebody would buy the book. That place was called the Shripad. And somebody bought the book, he had sat there, gave his life, and he was long preaching from the book, and that would be his service. So you go around Bengal and you find the Shripads where people bought the book, and they surrendered their life, dedicated it to preaching from that book. So now, because of the modern publishing developments, they're able to give the books a lot cheaper. You get it for just a few dollars and pounds and euros. And then hopefully want people to read the book and also become devotees. So we have a lot of mass distribution. We're trying to cultivate those people, bring them closer to Krishna. That's where also our congregational preaching ministry comes in. We try to follow up for the book distribution as planted the seed and try to cultivate it. We want to bring the people to this state that Narada Muni had desired for everyone. That by getting the transcendental literature, they'll be freed from all material bondage. And by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, not only do they get freed, but they become empowered to free others. Whether a man or a woman, whether young or old, they want to be Nitya Mahatrena, Sabya Sachin. To be an instrument in the hands of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, and the previous acharyas to give out this transcendental wisdom. So, the perfect vision has been given already in the book and it's been explained. We need to also sometimes explain a little bit if people don't need to know about it. People have a particular question, they have to be able to briefly explain it so that they'll be convinced that this is going to solve my problem. The fact that some book distributor believes in what's in the book makes the book all that much more important for the person receiving it. Actually, getting the book is the beginning, hopefully, of a lifelong relationship with the Krishna consciousness movement. So those who are getting the transcendental literatures, they are beginning this relationship. We'll discuss more about this topic, but so thank you all, folks who are dedicated to distributing the transcendental literature, fulfilling the desire of Narada Muni, to see that Vyasadeva's knowledge gets out. This was so dear to Srila Prabhupada. Dear to the previous acharyas. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. then it's okay that you go for 5 or 10 minutes more, maybe some questions.
All right.
Can anybody hold on?
Can they bring it out to the pit in the meantime?
Yeah, permission from Corona.
Direct to the rest of the
question. We have to all eat very enthusiastic to keep encouraging Corona to cook.
You all take that sacrifice?
Big guy.
Which verse in the 15th chapter was
there's another story about the 8th chapter. In the 8th chapter, there was two very, very simple husband and wife, and they became ghosts, and they were living a very hellish, ghostly life. And one day they were, the man said something like, "I wish we could get out from this ghostly existence." And the woman said, "How can we get out?" And he said, "We have to talk about Brahma and the soul." So she said, they were uneducated, but she just said, "Kim pet Brahma, kim ajatma," asking what is Brahman and what is the soul. And immediately they burst out from their ghostly body.
King Karma, who sold them.
She only chanted the one line. One line.
I got the original
two lines. But by the half a verse, they became immediately liberated. They didn't even know it was Bhagavad Gita or anything, but she just was saying, "What is it?" You know? But it happened to be Bhagavad Gita. You know, that it's just supposed to give us an idea how powerful this is. The Prabhupada's given us where we're chanting so many slokas every day and so many lines. Everyone who sees a book and they maybe read that much, you know, even if they don't take it. It doesn't matter, all the verses are completely powerful.
I was too strong. Any other question?
Chant, dance, and take the sun for granted, and dance, take the sun.
Nobody wants to offend Corona.
Huh?
Nobody wants to offend Corona.
Yeah, nobody wants to please Corona. Definitely cooking with the intense desire to make all the devotees happy.
He's doing their kirtan inside.
His Holiness Kavi Chandra Maharaj Ki.
Já jsem jim tam celý dopoledne říkala, že bych si od vás nic nevzala a teďka najednou jdu a utratila jsem za to 80 korun, to je vlastnost. Tak si to takhle stakladu.
Jo, to je Kršnova milost a to je určitá naše taky realizace, že opravdu, jak Manidar o tom mluvil, Manidar Prabhu na lekci, že Sankirtan odanej Brihadbánu o tom mluvil, vlastně vyprávěl ten příběh. Jak rozdával ty babičce a ona nechtěla ty knížky a říkala, no a proč bych si je měla vzít, jako stejná situace jako měl pana Saprabu, a proč bych si to měla vzít, a on jí objal přece, obejmul jí a říká, proč já vás mám rád, a ta babička byla tím jako velice dotčena a vzala si taky knížky, že to měl jako zrealizovaný, že se musíme naučit mít ty lidi rádi, my taky musíme se naučit mít ty knihy rádi, že to opravdu realizujeme. A to je, že my to nahrajeme nejenom z té diskety, že jsme slyšeli, že knížky jsou božstva, že se neliší od nejvyššího pána. Někdy, když vidím odaný, jak mají ve vozíčkách jako knížky, jakým způsobem se s nima někdy zachází, nebo v různých situacích, tak nevím, do jaký míry, kam to zapsali, jestli to mají zapsaný aspoň někde, že knížky jsou opravdu božstva. Jestli to nemají, tak si to můžou zapsat dneska. Že knížky jsou opravdu božstva a měli by se k tomu takovýmhle způsobem chovat. Že by měli vidět, že to se neliší od nejvyššího pána. Že to je ten největší drahokam, který my předáváme lidem. Jako je zase příběh ze Sanatána Gosvámy. Jak chtěl ten brahmana ten největší nektar, co má. Jak od něj chtěl kámen mudrců a on mu říkal, jo, tamhle leží, vem si ho tam na smetišti. Tak on si ho vzal a říkal, pak přišel domů a přemýšlel a říkal, člověče, proč si odkládá největší drahokam, nejdrahocenější věc někam na smetiště? Tak se k němu vrátil a ptal se ho, jestli by má něco cennějšího. A on říkal, jo, mám. A mohl bys mi dát tu nejcennější věc? A on říkal, jo, můžu. Tam jde a on říkal, jo, dám ti, ale musíš ten drahokam vzít a hoď ti tady do řeky. Zahoď ten drahokam, ten kámen mudrců do řeky a já ti pak dám něco drahocennějšího. Tak on vzal ten drahokam a hodil ho do řeky a pak mu Sanatán Gosvámí řekl Hare Krishna Mahamantum Japu, a poučil o svatý jménu pána. Tak ten odan, tak ten brahmana, nebo ten co k němu přišel, tak byl v první chvíli zmatený a nechápal, o co se jedná. Nevěděl, jaký to je drahokam, svatý jméno pána. Ale když to opravdu realizoval, když následoval ten pokyn, když to zapsal o toho Sanatány Gosvámího, kdy to přebral, napsal, nahrál to na hard disk a potom to prováděl, zpíval svatý jméno pána, tak to nějakým způsobem realizoval a opravdu zjistil, že to je drahokam. Takže oddaný stejným způsobem můžou zjistit, jaké je drahokam knížky, co to vlastně rozdávají. Že tady neprodávají jenom nějaký zboží k tomu, abychom udržovali ekonomickou situaci templů a abychom udržovali prostě nějakým způsobem pro nakoupení bogy, abychom udržovali sami sebe, veny. Ne, že se musí oddaný opravdu naučit mít rád ty knížky a Kršnu oddaný a ty lidi. A to musí nějakým způsobem realizovat. A když toto realizuje, tak potom se dějou věci. Pak se dějou věci na ulici, že přistoupí k těm lidem a oni to vidějí. Opravdu to taky přebírají. Já si pamatuju, když jsem rozdával třeba ještě hodně měkký knihy a občas jsem vytáhnul Bhagavatam z vozíku. Tak jsem ho předával, ten Bhagavatam, jako opravdu takový drahokam. Opravdu jsem to dnes otevřel jsem mu to tomu pánovi nebo té paní a ukázal jsem a říkal jsem, víte, to je něco jako opravdu reprezentativního. To není jen tak pro někoho, to je opravdu něco speciálního. A viděl jsem, ty lidi se k tomu i tak chovali. Prostě vzali ten Bhagavatam a opravdu to tak jako nesli a dívali se na to s respektem. Dneska už jako rozdávám nějakým způsobem delší dobu už ty Šrimad Bhagavatam, první zpěv třeba, tak už k tomu nikdy nemám takovej respekt, že to dělám takovýmhle způsobem. A je to chyba možná. No? Je to chyba, měl bych si zopakovat, měl bych vědět víc, co to opravdu znamená. Ty knihy, mít se naučit rád, co mě dávají. No? Když tam čtu, tak vidím, jak to mění moji situaci v životě, jak to mění moje vědomí, jak mi opravdu něco dává. A s tímto vědomím, když já pak přistoupím k lidem, tak jako i Panasaprabhu tady dal tý paní, protože jí řekl, že ty knížky opravdu má rád, že si ji vezme. Ta paní nejdřív nechtěla, ona říkala, ne, vy si ji vezmete. A ona se zeptala, proč? Protože já ty knížky mám rád. A? Tak ta paní tím byla dotčena, protože nějakým způsobem tam cítila realizaci, že opravdu má rád ty knížky. A to se projeví. To není otázka, že jenom to řekne. A Krishna mu dá zkoušky. Krishna mu dá zkoušky, jestli opravdu ty knížky má tak rád. Jestli opravdu si jich tak váží, jestli do nich tak bude nahlížet. No. Takže my bychom měli meditovat nad těmito body a realizovat. Takže jak jsme slyšeli, bylo to kázáním, jakým způsobem se to dá realizovat. Že přehrát z hard disku na CD. Tamhle říkali, že to je kázáním, že? Panasaprabhu říkal, čím ještě? Prosím? Následováním. Ilustroval ten příklad. A taky začíná to dotazováním. Že se dotazujeme, co nám není ještě ten bod vyjasněný, když ho nemáme plně vyjasněný. Když už ho sice máme nahraný, víme, že tady nosíme sklenici s medem, ale nevíme ještě přesně, jak to je sladký a jak to mám otevřít a jak se to dělá. Takže přijdeme a dotazujeme se. A další věc, že diskutujeme. To je něco podobného jako kázání. Ale kázání a diskutování jsou taky dva aspekty. Že kázání, že kážeme někomu o něčem, co už máme zrealizováno, a diskutováním, že se dotazujeme a že diskutujeme určitý bod a přijdeme společně k nějakému závěru. Že přijdeme společně k nějakému závěru. A když se neustále mluví o tomto bodu, jak Kršna říká, já jsem tam, já nejsem... Pana Saprabhu, znáš ten verš? Není v srdcích jogínů, není... Je?
Že nejsem na Vaikuntě ani v srdcích jogínů, ale jsem tam, kde můj čistý oddaň diskutuje můj zájem.
Kde se opravdu diskutuje Kršna katha, tak tam se Kršna zjevuje. Tam se zjevuje, když se o něm diskutuje. Pro nás Kršna katha někdy taky znamená diskutování různých praktických věcí. Co se má dělat, co mám dělat na sankirtanu, jak mám přistoupit k lidem, nebo co mám dělat, abych neusínal u knížky. To jsou různé věci, které o daný můžou diskutovat. A to jsou taky, to se neliší od Kršna katha. Takže Kršna je spokojený s takovým oddaným a Kršna se zjevuje v takovýchto místech. Není na Vaikuntě, není v srdcích jogínů. Kde ještě? Ale ten, kde jeho čistí oddaní diskutují jeho slávy, tak tam se zjevuje. Takže to je dotazováním, učením druhých, nebo kázáním a diskutováním. To je to, co mě napadlo. Ještě má někdo nějaký věci k tomuhle bodu? Nějaký realizace nebo co by doplňovalo tyhle ty otázky, co jsme teď, o kterých jsme mluvili? Takže teďkon jsme nějakým způsobem ustanovili, na jaký bázi by měly vlastně vypadat předávání informací a meetingy, jakým způsobem by mělo vypadat přijímání informací od autorit, od starších oddaných, od čili Prabhupády, jakým způsobem my bychom měli přijímat tyto informace. Teď myslím, že tomu docela oddaní rozuměli. Minule jsem si nebyl tak jistý, jestli tomu všichni porozuměli, proto jsem to zopakoval. Nechápe někdo něco z toho? Chce se na něco zeptat teďkon, než přejdeme k dalším bodům? Nebo každému to je jasný? Jo? Aha. Něco tam prostě seknem.
Něco, co tam prostě jako... Nebo tam taky spoustu nesmyslů, že máme nahrát z no. Příběžšího života.
A nebo spíš ze karmy života.
Ale teďka může nějaký nesmysl nahrát čas.
Aha.
A zároveň taky bez toho to velice těžko smazat. To takže mě zajímalo, jakým způsobem můžeme z toho smazat. Když to máme nahrát nějaký nesmysl na CD.
Že to přehrajeme, jako tou jinou realizací, tou silnější realizací, tou vyšší chutí, kterou získáme z toho kázání.
Tak to byla vystihující odpověď. Stačí ti to tak? Param drishtvani vartate. Že dostaneš vyšší chuť. Pak jednoduchým způsobem můžeš přehrát z ty nižší chuti. Jako ty jsi měl zakódováno třeba, že jezení masa je velice dobrý. Já nevím, jestli třeba ty, ale některý oddaný s tím mají zkušenost. Že rodiče do tebe nahustili, že to je velice dobrý a že potom budeš silný a zdravý. A všichni lidi si to myslej. Ale když jsi ochutnal prasadam, jak tady dneska pana Saprabu říkal, když jsi ochutnal prasadam, tak si dostal vyšší chuť. Tak si mohl jednoduchým způsobem z toho sídy, i když jsi to měl realizovaný, myslel si, no to je opravdu, je to dobrý. Když tam dám to koření a udělám to, tak to je opravdu dobrý. Měl jsi tam tu realizaci, ale jelikož si dostal vyšší chuť, no, jelikož si dostal vyšší chuť, tak to bylo jednoduchým způsobem, jsi to přehrál. No, přehrál si to, i když jsi to měl realizovaný, tak jsi to přehrál vyšší chutí. Jo? Stačí tak? Takže teď jsme si ustanovili, na jakým principu by měli, jak jsem říkal, fungovat třeba s naše meetingy, nebo na jaký úrovni bychom měli přijímat informace, že si z toho uděláme zápisky, potom to zkontrolujeme, co je pro nás důležitý, co není důležitý, dáme to do dlouhodobé paměti, pak to praktikujeme a realizujeme to. A z tohle, z této úrovně už je velice těžký poklesnout. Protože když vykonáváme činnosti, co se týká duše, tak ty už tam jsou věčný, protože to je přirozenost duše. Protože ještě, abych podotknul té tvoje otázce, protože ty činnosti, které jsi dal na CD, takzvaně, tak to se ještě netýkalo vůbec duše. Ty ani nemuseli být realizovaný, ty se týkaly jenom materiálního těla. Takže nebyly, to nejsou skutečné hodnoty, které tam jsou vypálené na tom CD-ru, ale to jsou věci, které třeba jsou na dlouhodobé paměti, ale vůbec se nedotýkají duše. Protože duše s tím není spokojená. Ale když opravdu realizuješ, že jsi duše, že nejsi toto materiální tělo, když tohle to realizuješ, tak už žádným způsobem se nedá, aby si spadnul zpátky, jak Krishna říká v Bhagavad Gita. Nebo šla Prabhupád, to diskutuje, když někdo se vrátí domů zpátky k Bohu, takže už nespadne zpátky. Už se nevrátí. To je v Bhagavad Gita, myslím, takový verš. Znáš ho? Jo, všichni potvrdili, že je to tak. OK. Takže to tak bude vypadat, tyhle naše meetingy. To jsem úplně nadšený z toho, protože co jsem měl zkušenosti z minulých třeba z nějakých meetingů, nebo když se odaný diskutoval nějaké věci, tak tady nebylo moc živo. Nechtěli odaný moc diskutovat. Když se někdo něco zeptal, tak sotva se někdo ozval tam někde vzadu. Většinou Gyana Deepa byl velice aktivní, nebo když jsme měli takový Sankirtan meetingy v Shyamanandi v Lazech, tak si pamatuju, tak tam Gyana Deepa byl velice aktivní, jeden z nejaktivnějších lidí, když tam Nila Madhava Prabhu vedl tyhle ty meetingy. Ještě pár odaných tam byli aktivní, ale spoustu odaných tam jenom sedělo a jenom naslouchali, jenom přijímali ty informace. Nebo jsme měli takový seminář Book Distribution na táboře, několik odaných tady z templu jsme měli tenhle ten seminář. A tam se diskutovaly určitý body. Já jsem si teďko nedávno třeba našel ten sešit a díval jsem se tam do něj a jsou tam docela zajímavý body, který jsem třeba dávno zapomněl. protože jsem si to nezapsal a nediskutoval jsem to. To byl právě můj problém, že jsem to nediskutoval dál. Pak třeba vznikají situace, jako teď jsem poslouchal Rohini Sutta Prabhu, jak mluvil o tom, když o daní si vlastně řežou tu větev vedle sebe, na který sedějí. Prostě se jim rozpadá ta půda pod nohama. Že on tam říkal, že tahle ta republika, třeba jako Čechy, jsou velice malá země. A že když odanej jde ven, tak by měl vědět, koho reprezentuje. Že reprezentuje toto hnutí, že reprezentuje Šlupra Upádu. Že žádná firma na světě si nedovolí poslat ven někoho, jak jsem říká, který je nekvalifikovaný. Že si to nedovolí. Prostě někoho poslat jen tak ven na ulici a běž a tady povídej, že jsi z této firmy a jenom něco tam řekni a nevadí, jak se chováš, nevadí, jak vypadáš. Prostě tam jenom běž a stůj tam a nějak se chovej a prostě je důležitý, aby si tady tam jenom byl a prodal si ten náš produkt, ale jestli ty lidi potom v budoucnu na tu firmu se budou dívat takovýmhle způsobem nebo takovým, tak to už jako není tak důležitý. Takže to byl takový problém, co odaní ze začátku dělali, že ostříhali Bhaktu, který přišel do templu a poslali ho hned pryč. Který si neuvědomoval, co vlastně v těch knížkách je. Nevěděl, jak reprezentovat, nevěděl, co má nosit.